So yesterday we heard about how Krishna is ready to leave the Pandavas and go back to Dwarka, but Kunti is begging him not to go. Please don't leave. When we had our dangers, when we had our Vipad, then you were here. And now we have our Sampad, you're leaving. So our Vipad, our distress, was actually our happiness, our Sampad, our opulence, because we had you. Now we have our kingdom. This is Sampad, this is opulence, but it is our Vipad, it is our distress, because you are leaving us. So therefore she prayed, let the calamities happen again and again, so we may see you again and again. And she explained how Krishna is the property of the Akinchana, one who has nothing in this world except Krishna. So now we have our kingdom, we have everything, and you're leaving, so better we don't have it. Better we're in poverty. Better if we're Akinchana, because you are Akinchana Gochara. You are the master of one who is... You belong, actually, not the master. You belong to somebody. You are the property of one who has nothing. So today we're going to hear about Krishna's seemingly contradictory behavior, which bewilders ordinary men, but which endears him to his devotees. And how Krishna is actually impartial in distributing his mercy, and he's also partial in distributing his mercy at the same time. And also, so how can that be? But we'll find out. So before we start, we have our homework question from yesterday. How do we feel Krishna's protection in our lives yesterday? First question. Did anybody have something on that? And if not, we had a lot yesterday. We went to the doctor, not an ordinary doctor. It's like half psychic and half on the subtle and gross both. And she informed me that there were 28, I can't remember, demons who were attacking me. Simultaneously, I had 3 ghosts, and simultaneously, I had 12 aliens who were after me. Sometimes I get dreams, you know, that I have, but they're not dreams, they're actually reality. And 6 parasites, which are inside eating, and that's why I have all this digestion problem. So it's a miracle that I'm alive, and that's the protection of Krishna. And this started last September. I was very, very ill for 3-4 months in India. And although I was sick, I was still traveling and preaching. I was sick in Bombay, sick in Nepal, but I didn't stop. And then I got very much sicker in Vrindavan, but the protection of Krishna is there. And even though it continued, still Krishna is protecting and he's allowing me to travel and preach, even though so many problems are there. And she did see, saw Srila Prabhupada there with me. And behind Prabhupada was all this demoniac energy. I said, yeah, he's holding it back. He's protecting me, actually, from all the demonic, all these things. So I really got a feeling of protection from Prabhupada and Krishna. In fact, one Ayurvedic doctor saw me a year ago, and he said, you should be either dead or in a mental institution because your vata is so high, he said, the Ayurvedic doctor said. So our body may be somewhere, but because we're protected by Krishna, it doesn't affect us as if I were not a devotee. Now that's kind of in my way. All right, this way. Here's this okay? It's good? Before you couldn't see me.
It was too high and it was right in your face.
Okay. All right. So fine. So I was feeling very protected. My Krishna, after she was giving me the list, I was thinking, well, I think it's better I don't hear about all these things. But then I thought, well, actually, I must be really protected by Krishna. Oh, and not only that, somebody cursed me, give me 11 curses. So here we go. This is the material world. And, so Krishna protects us. Srila Prabhupada protects us. We have to take that protection. Anybody else have something yesterday which you felt? So, yes?
Oh, it was like this Harinam program, it's sort of like how we actually get there in return is often the has been very much undefined. So
undefined, how you get there.
Yeah. So now I understand there's a bus at 2:28 from just 100 feet from the entrance. And if we leave at 20 minutes till 6, we get to the bus stop just when the bus is coming this way, which will also drop us not very far away.
Over here?
Yeah.
At the door?
Well, as close as the closest bus stop to the door.
Oh, okay. Well, so this is good news.
Yeah. So now.
And I wonder why they didn't figure this out before.
I don't know. Yeah.
They're not that reliable. That lady was saying they're not that reliable. They're only once every half an hour.
Okay. Well, then, if you know the half hour, if you know the time.
Yeah. I mean,
this requires organization.
Anyway, it worked out really good. We waited for 2 minutes, the bus came, dropped us there, and we chanted.
Krishna's protection.
Got to the bus stop, and just then the bus showed up.
So we will also do this today, I assume.
Yes. Yeah. 2:28 is when
2:28,
the bus.
Okay. Yes, be there or be square. Yes, anybody else feel Krishna's protection yesterday in your life? Yes.
I was thinking about it. I wasn't here, but I actually listened to the seminar from New Zealand.
Okay, so you caught up that way.
It was nothing that happened yesterday. I just feel all the time I'd be dead if I would just walk out in front of a bus or do something stupid all the time. It's like Krishna protects, but then we think Krishna protects because we're not dead, but obviously we're going to pass away at some point. Does that mean that Krishna is not protecting?
No, he'll protect us then too.
Yeah.
From falling to the lower species, because that's what happens with death. Most people are headed for the lower species, but the devotee will be headed back to Godhead, or at least to the heavenly planets for some time, or to a good birth here in this earthly planet. And we were also protected. We were shopping and walking endless kilometers looking for spring water, and all they had was mineral water in every shop. And finally, we went into one shop, the pound shop. Everything is 1 pound. We got 6 bottles for a pound. I needed 24. Okay, so anyway, so that was also protection. Yes?
I was thinking about it. I couldn't think of a specific example, but isn't it, for me, I depend on Krishna, according to how strong my faith is.
That's true.
I would like it to be total dependence, because I think when you first come to Krishna consciousness, it's very hard to understand or depend totally on Krishna.
Yeah, of course, you don't know him.
But as time goes on, it's very nice.
It is wonderful. As described, there is the complete dependence where, okay, Lord, you can kill me or save me if you like.
But that's, do you think many people can say,
no,
do what you want with me?
No, not many. That's full surrender.
Yeah.
It's full surrender. But you get to that point, actually, because you realize that it's better if he does what he wants than we do what we think is good. You get to that point eventually that, do what you want. Because you realize it's useless to try to do what you want. You never get what you want anyway, the way you want it. You may get something, but not really. So the second question was, how is Krishna taking away and how is Krishna giving to us? Did anybody lose something? Did Krishna take something away from you yesterday? Yeah.
I was trying to calculate everything out materially. So I bought a round trip ticket to the bus for this Mithai. But see what he finds these buses too unreliable, But for me, I just try an extra job, extra verses, or bring my computer to some work. Yeah. So it's not a problem. I prefer to save money and use the time I spend in some service. But he wanted to be back.
Time is sometimes more important for devotees than money.
I wasted a pound by buying a round trip ticket. when I would have been better if I just bought him a one-way ticket, because I was thinking, that Prabhupada says that we see the things was that Atmanam Manitejika?
Manitejika.
Yeah, so I was thinking that he'd want a round trip ticket too, just because I wanted a round trip ticket. It wasn't a fact, you know?
Right.
And I forgot about that. I'm so used to like thinking my calculations are absolute and glorious.
And actually, for older people, it's like my age, it's cheaper to go by those black taxis. I only pay 80 pais. One way. So he
How
might.
How old do you have to do that?
Have to be 60.
Okay.
Or look.
Yeah. Look like it's
you
the
don't.
Look too young.
Yeah, Bhagavad, she gets it. Although she's not. Okay, so we'll start now. Anybody else get something taken away or given to you yesterday by Krishna? Yes?
Sorry, I didn't really understand the question because in one sense, everything that's taken away is ultimately Krishna. Everything that's given
right.
is also.
I mean, did you notice something, you know?
We got a few pants.
Okay, you got a few. Krishna gave you a few pence.
And then while I was counting my money, this 20 pence thing that rolled all around to the door and fell out.
Which door?
I mean, the door of the bus.
The bus.
But I was sitting like three seats back, but it rolled all the way up the front. And then, I don't know, the doors are such that they can roll out the door on the bus.
Well, Krishna took away.
Yeah, they took away. And
there you go.
One day.
Yeah, well, that happens.
But he gave more than.
He gave you more than 20 pence. That's good. Mm. All right. Anybody else have something?
My pride was taken away a little bit.
Acha?
In the evening. Because in the class at the Krishna Kripa gate, I think I was trying to be clever and say something or, you know, intellectual or scientific. And then I was thinking, God, that sounded really stupid.
Yeah, sometimes we do that. Okay, let's go to verse 28. First verse. Mani tvam kalamishanam manadi nittanam vivam samam chanantam sarvatra bhutanam yam mitakali. My Lord, consider your Lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. So, here in the purport, it describes, welcome. Krishna is described as time. Another name of Paramatma, feature of the Lord, is Kala, or eternal time. Eternal time is the witness of all our actions, good and bad, and thus resultant reactions are destined by him. So has anybody here experienced time in your life? What is your experience of time in your, any realizations on the effects of time, or just time itself, or, yes, Anya?
If I'm very ill or in pain, time in 1 minute is like eternity when you're in pain.
Okay. So when you're suffering, time goes slower. And when you're enjoying, time goes very fast. Okay, that's one thing. It's the same time, but it appears differently according to what we're doing. Yeah.
I find time is pushing.
You feel like time is pushing, yes.
Yeah. Like
time
I'm
is
pushing. I'm here and I have for a certain length of time and then I'm pushed to the next place for a certain length of time and I'm pushing.
Yeah, I have that feeling.
Keeping
I also have that feeling. And sometimes I feel like each day I'm a long time in each place. It depends where I am too. It depends. Sometimes the time goes very slowly. I guess if you're anticipating to go somewhere else where you really want to be, even then the time may go, but you're counting the days, kind of. So very soon I'll be there. Very soon I'll be there. Yes. So anything else about time?
I remember reading that Srila Prabhupada said that he wishes he didn't have to take rest if he could spend
time. Right, he didn't waste time. Pure devotee doesn't want to waste time. Yeah, we'll get into that. Actually, How devotees don't like to waste time. Also, anybody, there's nobody here my age, but when you get to be over 60, then you see the effects of time on your body very much. When you're young, you look in the mirror and you think, yes, that's me. When you get old, you think, I am not this body. You look in the mirror and you say, that's not me for sure.
I think that happens at 40.
Yes, you're right. I was just being kind. Yeah. Well, actually, there in the Veda, you know, we just finished studying 11th Canto, and there is a commentary where it explains the different age groups. That childhood is up childhood is up to 15, and then youth is like 16 to 40. They put youth.
Wow.
And then they put middle age, 41 to 59, and then old age starts at 60. And I think that's pretty good, except I think for ladies it's 10 years earlier. It's somehow, I think they seem to age faster than the men, for some reason. So yes, time affects us, time affects us. And the super soul, he's in the heart and he's watching, he's watching what we do, and he's giving the reactions to our deeds. So we have our destiny. Our destiny is made by ourselves in our past life. And everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of his own destiny. And you can't really change it. Only Krishna can change your destiny. If you actually become a devotee and surrender to Krishna, then you can be protected from time and you can be protected from your destiny as well. Your destiny will change. So I'll give you an example of one story. There was one crow who was sitting on the palace gate, and while he was sitting on the gate, he saw Yamaraj, and Yamaraj was smiling at him. And the crow said, oh my God, it's Yamaraj, Lord of Death. He's going to come and take me away. I better get out of here fast, very far. I want to go as far as I can. So he went to Garuda, king of the birds. Garuda can fly from one planet to the other. So he said, Garuda, please, I need your help. I saw Yamaraj, I must get somewhere very far away as soon as possible. Garuda said, no problem, just hop on my back. And they flew across so many different planets and places. And finally, far, far away, the furthest end of Bhuloka, Kramchajeep, or one of those dweeps, he put him down. He said, okay, there you go. You're so far away now, no problems. As soon as he put the crow down, a big cat came and ate him. So then he went to Yamaraj and he said, now, why were you smiling at me? Yamaraj said, I was wondering, how are you going to get so far away where you're supposed to die? So the point is that we try to change our destiny, but we're just bringing it closer, bringing our death closer, and we try to avoid it. So this crow was like that. So another aspect of time, Kalarupa. Arjuna saw one aspect of time on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all devouring death, to eliminate the envious from the world. And so, for the non-devotees, they will see Kala Rupa at the time of death. They will see Krishna in the form of death. They may believe or not believe in death, but death will come. Whether you believe, whether you're an atheist or a devotee, death will come. So for the atheist, God will come as death. They will see God at the time of death in the form of Kala Rupa, in that form. Not so for the devotees, Prabhupada said in one purport, 113.49, Krishna will show his real actual form, his beautiful form, his two-armed form that we see here in these pictures. But for the non-devotee, he will come as death. The example Prabhupada gives is a cat with a rat in its mouth, or a cat with a kitten. When the rat is in the mouth of the cat, it's, what is it feeling? Anxiety, fear, insecurity. It knows what's going to happen to it. It's going to be finished very soon. And so this is the position of the non-devotees at death. They're very fearful. They don't know where they're going. and they're suffering pain and agony and anxiety. But the kitten in the mouth of the cat feels secure, very happy. My mother is taking me somewhere in her mouth. That's how the mother cat takes the kitten here and there, out of danger. I saw a mother pig who happened to have 9 piglets in our garden one day in Vrindavan. And then somebody watered the garden and it was becoming flooded where the piglets were, and she was carrying them one by one out of the water to another safe place. And so, mother cat with a kitten in her mouth. So when we are facing death, devotees, and we are feeling secure, oh well, now we're going back to Godhead. Krishna is going to take us back. So even in this life, Srila Prabhupada says, sometimes we may feel the mouth, the teeth of the mother cat, and that means if some suffering comes in our life. But we should know that this is simply Krishna putting us, taking us in a different direction. That we may be going in the wrong direction, but then Krishna says, no, you go this way. He takes us, picks us up, and takes us another way. So this is Krishna's mercy. Samam Charantam, he's equal. He's moving everywhere. So we'll go to the next verse. This is going to explain mercy, verse 29 in the purport. Naveha kasci bhagavan shikeshitam taveha manasya ninam vidambaram nayasya kasci tahitos tikari vichi deshasya yasaman vishma matirinam. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. So here's a contradiction. Krishna is equal in distributing his mercy, and he's also partial in distributing his mercy. Here it says, no, you're completely impartial. But actually, he is partial to his devotees. He's equal to non-devotees. He's equal to everyone. He gives them what they deserve. But to the devotees, he gives them more than they deserve. Gives them special mercy. So this is Krishna. He differentiates between those who take shelter of him and those who do not. And he reciprocates accordingly. So Bhagavad Gita, yaya tamam prapadyante tam sataiva pajamiham. I reciprocate according to how people deal with me. So this is bewildering to many people. How does Krishna come here? Why does he act like this? And again, Prabhupada said that he doesn't need to come here to kill the demons. He said a big wave. I think this might have been a prediction. He said a big wave can come. There weren't any big waves in those days. But now we know what this means. In fact, we didn't even hear that name before, tsunami. We never heard that name before. And now it's a household word. Big waves come, and thousands can be killed in a moment. And he doesn't need to come to give protection to the devotee. So he explained how the Yamadutas, they're wandering around. These are the messengers of death. They're just waiting for somebody sinful to leave his body, and they will take him for hellish punishment. So they're wandering around, and not only the Yamadutas, the Vishnudutas are also wandering around, the messengers of the Lord. And they're looking for somebody who is chanting Hare Krishna, and they want to protect him. They want to protect the devotees and help them out. Give them some extra strength. Give them some extra help. Actually, my husband, my ex-husband, he once said he was driving a motorcycle in the Himalayas, and the roads are very treacherous up there. And they're small, and they're just barely 2 lanes, and if a big bus comes, you know, you're off the road. I mean, off the road means down, very far down. So one time he said he was driving his motorcycle, and that was, he was driven to the edge, and then he felt some very strong force pushing him back on the road, and it wasn't him. He just felt somebody pushing him, something pushing him back on the road. You know, he was meant to fall off that road. But we did that. We drove up to the Himalayas. My ex-husband, myself, and my son, three on a motorbike, up to Gangotri and back to Vrindavan, from Vrindavan to Gangotri and back.
Wow.
That was quite an experience with our luggage. With our luggage, everything on the motorbike. Anyway, that's something else. But yes, the protection is there, and we can feel that protection. We can feel that, devotees feel that protection of the Lord. He doesn't need to come, he can send his Rishi Dutas. But he does come sometime. Why does he come? Prabhupada said, he takes a pleasure pastime. Let me go and see what's happening there. So, but people think, oh, he's here, that means he's one of us. Many people think, oh, Krishna, he's just a powerful person, but not God. They don't understand. So it's not like, so we're all in the prison. If the governor or the president of the country comes to, or the prime minister comes to visit the prison, doesn't mean the prime minister is in the prison. He's not a prisoner, he's free. He can go and come as he likes. But we are prisoners. So in the material world, we're all prisoners. We're subject to the laws of the prison. But if God comes, if Krishna comes, then he is not like that. He is above. And he comes here just to be merciful, actually, to the people suffering here. He comes to teach Bhagavad Gita. He comes for so many reasons. And he's even merciful to the demons. Putana came to kill Krishna. She smeared poison on her breast. And she was giving milk along with poison. When Krishna drank the milk, and he took her life as well, because otherwise she would have gone to kill many other babies who were not as powerful as Krishna. So he took her life, but then he gave her eternally a position as a mother, because she had given her milk to him. So how merciful is that? Someone comes to kill you and you accept them as your mother. Oh, this is my mother. Eternally. So what a merciful Lord we have. Now if we just do a little service to Krishna, that will save us from falling to lower species. Especially if we chant Hare Krishna. There is a verse from Adi Purana, one who chants my name, even neglectfully, I keep forever his name in my heart. So if we say Krishna's name every time, Krishna will say our name in his heart. Adi Purana, one who chants my name, oh Arjuna, one who chants my name even neglectfully. I don't know the verse, but it's a very famous verse. So Krishna is equal to everyone. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, foolish people think devotional service is flattering the Lord to get special mercy. So this is paragraph 1 near the end. Factually, pure devotees who are engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord are not a mercantile community. A mercantile house renders service to someone in exchange for values. Pure devotee does not render service unto the Lord for such exchange, and therefore the full mercy of the Lord is open for him. Suffering men, needy men, inquisitive persons, or philosophers make temporary connections with the Lord to serve a particular purpose. When the purpose is served, there is no more relation with the Lord. A suffering man, if he is pious, prays to the Lord for his recovery. But as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases, a suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. Mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. So, my question is there some sort of mercy that we're reluctant to receive from the Lord?
Taking everything away,
okay. We don't want that mercy. And that's only for a very special devotee. He will do that, don't worry. you may come to that level in your life sometime where he does that. But then it'll be a relief, actually. You'll see when it happens. At this point, it may not be relief. At that point, when it actually happens, you'll see, oh wow, that's a relief, actually. And he took that away. Because the things that we're most attached to are the things that give us the most pain, usually. The things we suffer the most from are the things we're most attached to. And so I remember my son. My son, he's born in Krishna consciousness. So the children of devotees, they're very merciful, actually. They're very kind. And I saw he and one friend were playing. They were about 2 years, 10 years old, he and his friend. And they were watching this big ant, and the ant had this huge thing on its back, and it was going around in circles. It couldn't go straight because of the big burden it had on its back. And so they were watching the ant, and they said, "What shall we do? Let's help this ant." So they took the burden off the back of the ant, and then he was able to go straight. And so, in this material world, people are carrying these huge burdens on their back. So sometimes it's mercy if Krishna just takes the burden off. He said, "Oh, yeah, now you can think straight. You can go straight. It's easier for you now, isn't it?" And so, yes. And the fact is that our modern civilization has created so many unnecessary burdens, so many things that we don't need. My son, he used to also work as a salesman for a few months in his life. And he said, "Oh, selling, you want to know what it means to sell something? Selling means you have to convince someone they need something that they don't." Yes. This is selling. This is sales. Convincing someone they need something that they really don't need. And most of the things people really don't need today, actually. And life would be better without them. Then we depend on certain things, and then when the thing doesn't work, then we don't know what to do. It was just like that Y2K, year 2000. Everybody was saying, "Oh, when the year 2000 comes, all the computers will stop, all the planes will stop flying, everything will stop." But there was a big, huge thing, and everybody was stocking up food and all this stuff. And I said, "We're in India, every day is Y2K over here, we don't need to worry." And it was true, and nothing happened. Except that I think one software company sold billions of dollars worth of new software before the thing happened. But I think that's the only thing that really happened, because people were freaking out. And one computer, I think in Japan something happened to it, but it wasn't severe, it just made a mistake in this. That's what I heard happened. But I already, you know, I mean, living in India, you know, no water, no electricity, and all these things, it's like, you know, every day can happen. But in the West, if you have no electricity or something, then what do? You have no power. You know, the trains stop, and so many things happen, and the computers stop, oh my God.
I remember reading an article, and it said that any city anywhere in the industrial world has a maximum 5 days food supply.
Yeah.
And the hospitals have 3 days medical supply. And it depends totally on the oil, the electricity.
Yeah.
And even the food in the cities, in the stores, if they cannot have the refrigerating system on,
right,
then that food is of no use.
Yeah, I know.
So the whole system completely depends.
It all depends.
That the people just, it's a domino effect. The whole thing comes crashing down.
They don't know what to do, yeah. In India, it's not a problem, you know. And you don't need cars. You can just walk to the nearest vegetable place. Everything is in walking distance in India. Doctors, food, everything. You just walk. Or you take a rickshaw. It's not far away. But in the West, everything is so far. To see a doctor, to go to work, everything, you have to really depend on petrol, or you have to depend on something. Yeah. So it's a very artificial lifestyle. Anyway, talking about mercy. So we'll go back down the purple. Oh, okay. Before we do that, your homework question for today. How is Krishna's mercy coming today in your life? Look for the mercy of Krishna today in your life. How is it coming? That's question number one. And question number two is there some mercy today that you are reluctant to accept? Is there something that is coming from Krishna that would not be so convenient today for you to accept? Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not sure if something's actually Krishna's mercy, or it's not so clear, situation. Mm-hmm. Is this Krishna's mercy, or is it just me being afraid to make a change?
It's probably both. Krishna's mercy is coming, and it's you afraid to make a change. combination of both there.
Because he knows what you can handle at the time.
Yeah.
It becomes clear in your heart if
you're
ready for something.
If you're very accepting, then it's all mercy. And that's another point here, actually. It talks about who gets the full mercy. So I'll read this paragraph. It's the end of paragraph one. Those who are completely against the service of the Lord are considered to be in abject darkness. Those who ask for the Lord's favor only at the time of necessity are partial recipients of the mercy of the Lord. And those who are 100% engaged in service of the Lord are full recipients of the mercy of the Lord. So now, what determines who gets the full mercy? Here's the sentence. Such partiality in receiving the Lord's mercy is relative to the recipient and not due to partiality of the all-merciful Lord. So that means that if we want, the more open we are to receiving the mercy, the more mercy we will get. That's simply it. If we're 100% open, we get 100% mercy. If we're 10% open, we get 10% mercy. And the example is the sun. The sun is shining equally everywhere. It's impartial. Doesn't say, okay, no, I see a dirty house. I won't shine on that dirty house because it's dirty. Or there I see some urine in the street. I won't shine there. No, it shines everywhere. Doesn't discriminate. So, Lord's mercy is like that. It's for everyone. He doesn't say, oh, this person doesn't like me. He's an atheist. I won't shine there. Even the atheist has to depend on the Lord for his food, for the oxygen, for everything to keep going. And he gives him everything. He gives him all facility to be against him. Doesn't discriminate. But, so the sun is available for everyone, but if you close your door and go in the closet, you won't get it. So the mercy is for everyone. Prabhupada said, if you keep the sun to your back, you'll simply see a long shadow of your body. You just see darkness if you keep your sun to your back. You turn towards the sun, then you will see light. So that's back to Godhead. Where there is God, there is no omniscience. So we have to look towards the light. Tamasi ma jyotirgama says in the Vedas, go to the light. Don't go to the darkness, go to the light. So Sri Prabhupada explained that if you fly in an airplane in the morning and go west and keep on going, you'll never see the sunset. And so I had that experience in 1998 when I first came to Ireland. It was my first stop. And I had never been to Europe before, so from India. I went on the plane in the early in the morning, and then I kept going, and then I was thinking to chant my evening Gayatri, right? So, 7 o'clock, sun was still up there, and then I tried 8 o'clock, no, 9 o'clock. Like every hour, I thought, oh, surely I could chant my Gayatri, 10 o'clock, no. Finally, 11:30 it was, I remember. Plane was landing, the sun was setting, and I finally chanted my Gayatri. Now, if you're in Sweden, then you don't get a chance because it doesn't set in the summer. I was there one summer, last summer, and we were following Ekadashi, and then I woke up at 3:30. I said, okay, let's find out what time to break it. And it was already too late. It was 2:30 in the morning. What's to break that? Oh, no. I couldn't break a Kadashi. It was 2:30 to 3:30 or something like that. It's like crazy time, you know. So, this the sun is Krishna. And if we always keep ourselves in the light, then we won't be in the darkness. So this darkness and light is always there. We have that choice in our lives, always, to choose darkness or light. So if you keep in the light, you will get the mercy. Go in the darkness, then you're hiding. You won't get the mercy. So how do we know if somebody has received the mercy? Prabhupada explained the service attitude. And there's a prayer, one prayer of Lord Brahma in the third canto, 3938. The Lord tells Brahma, there are three things which are my causes mercy on you. And these things that you are doing in your life show that you have my mercy. And the first one is matstotram, that the prayers that you are chanting, this is my mercy. So if you pray, if you are praying to the Lord, that is mercy. That is real mercy. You're getting mercy if you pray. Second thing, tapasi, the penances you have undertaken to understand me. Some austerity, if you do some austerity for the Lord. If you chant Hare Krishna, then that is tapasya. That is the penance for the sages to chant Hare Krishna or do some service. So first of all, prayer, and second of all, austerity, and third, the third symptom of the mercy is firm faith in me, manishta, nishta, that is faith. So these three things are the mercy of the Lord, and if you are doing any of these or all of these, then you definitely have got some mercy there. And how you know is you have the service attitude, you want to do service. So, Prabhupada explained, voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. Yeah, voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. He said that one purport, I don't remember where. But I think it's five in the fifth canto, 5:19-7, where Hanuman is saying, you know, actually to be a friend of Lord Ram, it's not dependent on any material qualification like beauty, intelligence, eloquence, because we're monkeys and we're his friends. So what did he see in us? He saw our devotion. Even though we're not even humans, he accepted us as his friends. We're monkeys. We are also monkeys too, Prabhupada said. Just as Lord Ram had an army of monkeys to conquer, go across to Lanka, so Prabhupada said, I also have an army of monkeys. We were, but he made us into devotees. So another quote from Prabhupada from some lecture somewhere, if you, in the morning you wake up and you think, I have so many problems, but we only have one problem, and that is how to accept Krishna. That is our problem. How to accept Krishna, only problem. So accepting mercy. Now we'll go to verse 30. It's talking about some contradictions. Janma karma cha vishvatman jasya kartaratmana tiryani shishyadasu talyanta vidampanam. Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. So, what is Krishna's work? What is his work? You can tell me. He says you work. Okay, very good. He comes to deliver the devotees and deny the demons. Anything else?
Establish
principles of religion. Okay, that's his work. And where does he do this work? When he came here? And what? How did he do this work? Yeah, he's okay. He preached Bhagavad Gita. If you study his life in Dwarka or in Vrindavan, it was more play, actually. Those demons were, in third canto, it said they were just like toys that Kamsa sent for him to play with. Kamsa was actually good. He sent nice toy dog, toy snake, toy witch. Some nice toys for Krishna to play with. They were not really, that wasn't work for him. That was just fun. But in Dwarka, he actually went to work. He would get up in the morning and he would do all his duties and he would go to work, he would leave his house and go to the assembly house. And they would discuss, and he would have fun there too, actually. But also they would sometimes have to pray to Nainasais, he says, protect the devotees and kill the demons. So the discussion came up one day about Jarasandha, that, you know, the kings who were imprisoned by him sent a message to the assembly house and said, please deliver us, please save us from this prison. Because Jarasandha wanted to sacrifice, I think, 100,000 kings once he got a total. He was up to 20,000. And he wanted to get 100,000 to sacrifice to Kali. Bhairava. So then they got this message from the kings who were in prison. At the same time, Narada Muni came and said, Yudhisthira is inviting you to his Rajasuya sacrifice. So then they had to discuss, well, where should we go first? So then Uddhava, of course, he consulted Uddhava, and Uddhava explained, well, you can serve both purposes by going to defeat Jarasandha first, because unless you defeat all the kings, Yudhisthira cannot do his Rajasuya. So better you go first to Jarasandha and then you go to... Then once Jarasandha is killed, then you can go and do the Rajasi sacrifice. So Krishna did some work there, but he was acting as a human being. He even consulted. He didn't like say, okay, I'm God, I'll tell you what to do. No, he consulted Uddhava, his minister. So that is his work. Still, he does nothing, of course. It's described at the time of creation, all he does is glance. That's his work, is looking. He looked at the material nature and she got pregnant with everybody. Very easy, easy work. He doesn't have to, he's just laying there and finish. The whole material creation starts just by his glance. And he's still glancing, we'll hear about that later. So Krishna, although he works, he's inactive. Although he's born, he's unborn. And so Prabhupada said he comes here just to, as a human being, just to teach us how to work and be happy in this world. Nothing comes automatically. Everyone here is forced to work. And that's why people have to go for jobs. Nobody is going to come and say, okay, you don't work, I'll take care of you. And of course, Krishna says that. Now you don't work, you work for me, and everything will be good, Krishna says. So, I heard one class in Mayapur, Bhaktivedanta Purnamara, she was saying, in Vaikuntha, there are no contradictions, but in Goloka, there are so many contradictions. But all these contradictions are reconciled when we understand Krishna's quality of being Bhaktivatsala, lover of his devotees. And we'll hear about this in the last verse for today, verse 31. Oh, before I say that, Prabhupada said something very nice, and I don't have the reference for it. He said, it is difficult to know Krishna in full, but we need to know just enough about him to love him. So I thought that was really nice. You can't really know him in full, but just enough so you can love him, and that will be sufficient. So verse 31. Gopyadade taikidagasidamatava yate dushashikamilanjana sambhavaksham vatranjani abhayabhavanayastitasya samam vimohayati vilapiyot vipeti. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflowed with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. How can God be afraid? Even God has a mother. That's how. So the story is, Damodar Leela, Krishna was drinking his mother's milk and she put him down because there was some milk boiling over on the stove and she wanted to go and catch it, turn it off. So then Krishna, when he was put down, he got very angry and he went and he broke a butter pot and sat feeding the monkeys and his friends. You know why he likes the monkeys so much, right? Who knows? Because as Lord Ram, they helped him. So he favors them. He likes to keep them happy. So then when Yashoda came and saw Krishna, Krishna jumped up and ran away. And she called out, Krishna, stop right there. You are a butter thief, the foremost cheater, don't you know that? And Krishna ran away, he was looking over his shoulder to see if she was coming. And she saw her coming, he saw her coming with a stick. And then she called out, stop, you thief, where do you think you're going? Why are you behaving like this? Don't go anywhere. So then he stopped, he thought he was far enough away. And he said, Mother, I'll stop if you put down the stick, please, put down the stick, don't punish me. So he was afraid. And so Yashoda said, well, if you're so afraid of being punished, then why did you break the butter pot? So Krishna said, Mother, I promise I'll never do it again. Please, just put down that stick. Don't punish me. So Kunti, then she put down the stick. And Kunti was bewildered because she understood Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He has the power over all the worlds. How can he be afraid? Everyone's afraid of him. And she could have understood that, well, maybe if he's just pretending, then I can understand. But he wasn't pretending. He was afraid of his mother. So this was bewildering. Because Kunti, she saw the opulence of Krishna at the same time that he was as her nephew. She knew his power. So there's a nice verse in 6th canto, 6.9.37. It says that Supreme Personality of Godhead is a reservoir of everything, including all knowledge, all truth, and all contradictions. The reservoir of contradictions. So that's why people cannot understand God. They think if he's a person, if he's all-pervading, how can he be a person? They think about themselves. I'm limited. Because I'm in this one body, that limits me. But that doesn't limit Krishna. Even though he has his form, he can be in everyone's heart at the same time, in every atom, in the heart of all the animals and insects at the same time. So those devotees who know him don't see any contradictions. They think, yes, Krishna can do anything. When there was a cobbler and he was challenged, he said, you know, why do you have faith that the Lord can put an elephant through the eye of a needle? He had that faith. He said, yes. And it wasn't blind faith. It's not, we don't have blind faith. It was logical. He said, yes, I'm sitting under this tree. This, what kind of tree? I forgot, banyan tree or some kind of tree. And I see these seeds falling every day. And I know inside a small seed like this, there's a huge tree. So if he can put a huge tree in a small seed, why can't he put an elephant through the eye of a needle? Same thing. No problem. No problem for Krishna. So devotees, they don't see contradictions, but non-devotees see him as a source of all fear. Lord Nishinade, when he appeared for Prahlad, he was his savior. Oh, he was so happy. And his father, the opposite, he was death personified. So it's the same Lord, but it's how do you see him? You see him as your enemy, then he will be your enemy, as you like. He will be death for you. You see him as your friend, he will be your friend. So God is one, but people understand him from different observations. So we offer obeisances to Krishna with awe and reverence. We don't come to the temple with a stick saying, I'm going to chastise you. But Krishna likes that in the spiritual world. He likes when he's chastised. And I have one example of my god sister, Radha Kun, who's a big book distributor. Still, even though she has cancer, she's doing full-time book distribution in Vrindavan, still. And she's the top at the same time, 60 years old. So one time she was distributing in Jagannath Puri, and one shot, and she wasn't successful at all. One shopkeeper in Puri was watching her and how she didn't sell a single book, and he said to her, you know what you have to do? You have to go to, there's a, like a Pitita Pavan, there's a Jagannath Didi right at the entrance. We can't go in, but there's one Didi. He said, you go to that Didi and you tell, and you chastise him. And you tell him, why aren't you helping me? She said, I can't do that. I worship Jagannath, you know, he's my Lord. So she went back, she didn't do any books. So finally the shopkeeper went, and he went and chastised Lord Jagannath, and he said, this poor girl is out here whole morning in the hot sun trying to sell your books and you're not helping her at all. Then she did really well after that. So they have that relationship in Puri with Lord Jagannath. They're very, they have this relationship that chastising him. And that's in the spiritual world too. So they have that, all the people born in Puri have a special relationship with Lord Jagannath. So Krishna here, he is very happy in his mother's chastising him, actually, although he's crying. And he, at this point, his head is down and he's saying, yes, I did it, I'm sorry, please punish me. Now this is a contradiction. In the Upanishads, it is said the Lord can run with more speed of the mind, but here we see he's caught by Mother Yashoda. He's richer, he has so many Lakshmis. Lakshmi means money. They're all worshipping him, serving him. But here he's stealing butter, like he has nothing. So this is contradictions in Krishna. Everyone's afraid of him. It's described in Bhagavatam. The wind is blowing out of fear of him. The sun is shining. Indra is pouring forth his showers, the planets are sparkling, all out of fear of him. And the seasons are changing out of fear of him. But here, he's afraid of Mother Yashoda. So all these demigods who were afraid of him were watching, and they just couldn't believe, you know, this is the one we're afraid of, and what, he's running away from his mother. And so they were just bewildered completely. They just couldn't understand. So Kunti is also like that. She couldn't understand Krishna behaving like this. And so Prabhupada just said that in Vrindavan, they don't care who is God and who is not. They simply love Krishna. So that's Vrindavan in the spiritual world. Devotees outside Vrindavan study how great these devotees of Vrindavan are, but the inhabitants of Vrindavan don't care to know how great Krishna is. So our concern should be simply to love Krishna, Prabhupada said. So we will stop here, and I'll remind you, the homework question is, how is Krishna's mercy coming in your life today? And is there any mercy, number two, that you are reluctant to accept? And then, I want to sing a prayer, verses. You can pass this out. We're going to sing Shri Chor Agaganya Guru Shastakam. This is actually sung during Damodar month, Purushottam month. In Vrindavan, Purushottam month, not Damodar. And this is for those who have gotten the full mercy of Krishna, and Krishna has taken away everything or something. And this is something you can sing if that ever happens to you. This is a prayer to Krishna that from somebody who has lost everything. And this is written by Lila Shugaya. What's his name? I forgot his other name. He was a blind Bilma Gotaka. Okay. Bilma Gotaka. Okay, so I will sing one line, you can repeat after me. Raja Pasiram Navanita Choram. Raja Pasiram Navanita Choram. Gopanganam Chadukula Choram.
Gopanganam Chadukula Choram.
Aneka chanmar chita papa choram.
Aneka chanmar chita papa choram.
Chora paganyam purusham namami.
Chora paganyam purusham namami.
I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. He steals the butter from the houses of damsels of Brajbhumi. He steals all the garments of the damsels of Brajbhumi. He's famous for his acts of stealing. He steals all the sinful reactions of his devotees, such a great thief. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Charam.
Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Charam.
Navam Buddhasya Malakanti Charam.
Navam Buddhasya Malakanti Charam.
Parashitaram chasamasta choram.
Parashitaram chasamasta
choram. Chora gaganyam purushan namami.
Chora gaganyam purushan namami.
He steals the heart of Radharani. He steals the blackish hue of the dark cloud. He steals everything. For those who take shelter at his lotus feet, he steals everything they have. He takes all of their possession, their material assets, money, and men. He even steals their mind. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Akinin shane kritya parashitam yam.
Akinin shane kritya parashitam yam.
Karoti bhikshum patige hainam.
Karoti bhikshum patige hainam.
Kenapyahopi shanachara itri.
Kenapyahopi shanachara itri.
Tishta shutavam ajagat taipi. So the translation I have, I forgot to tell you, it's a different translation of what you have. It's a bit expanded. It's by Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So it is Gaur who has left us. So it may be a little different. He takes away everything from those who take shelter at his lotus feet. takes away all their material wealth, wife, children, kith and kin. He takes everything. And then those persons become paupers, like beggars on the street, with no house, no hut, nothing. Such a great thief who steals everything. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who's the best of all thieves. Yadiyanama vihara tashesham.
Yadiyanama vihara tashesham.
Giri prasaran api paparashin.
Giri prasaran api paparashin.
Hascha jirupo nana chora yitri.
Hascha jirupo nana chora yitri.
Trishta shuto vannamaya katapi.
Trishta shuto vannamaya.
Such a great thief. If one only hears his name, he takes away all their sinful reactions. I've never seen or heard of such a wonderful thief. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Tanam chamanam cha tatendiyani. Pranam chahitva mamasarvameva. Oh, great thief, stealing all our assets, bank balance, money, land, property, prestige, fame, senses, mind, heart, and everything, you are running away. Where are you running? I'll catch hold of you. You are such a great thief, but now you are caught. I'll bind you with this rope of love. Where will you go now, great thief, running away and taking everything? You are bound up with this very strong rope of love. You cannot run away now. Chinatsikoram yamapashabantam.
Chinatsikoram yamapashabantam.
Pinatsibimam pavapashabantam.
Pinatsibimam pavapashabantam.
Chinatsisarasya samastabantam.
Chinatsisarasya samastabantam.
Naiva manopatakitantabantam.
Naiva manopatakitantabantam.
You may cut off the rope of Yamraj, you may cut off this material bondage, but you cannot cut this bondage of love. Now you are in bondage. I have bound you up. Man manase dhamma sarashikore.
Man manase dhamma sarashikore.
Kara kihe dukkamaye nibodha.
Kara kihe dukkamaye
nibodha. Abhasahe chara hare chiraya. Sacho yado sho chitame patandam.
Sacho yado sho chitame
patandam. Oh great thief, Lord Hari, I'm putting you in the very dark prison house of my heart. This is the right prison for you. I'm putting you here forever. This is the proper punishment for your act of stealing. Stay forever in this prison house of my heart. I'll never release you. Karakiheva sasada videye madiye. Karakiheva sasada videye madiye. Madhapipasha vidhavanta nanishtalasan. Madhapipasha vidhavanta nanishtalasan. Tam Krishna he palaya koti satantarepi. Sarvasya chara hidayam narimochayami.
Sarvasya chara
hidayam narimochayami. Now I have bound you with a rope of love and put you in the prison house of my heart. Stay there, stay there, stay there. You cannot get yourself free from this very tight bondage. O Krishna, you have stolen everything from me. My material assets, name, fame, beauty, reputation, kith and kin, my family members, my heart and mind. This is the proper punishment for you, to remain in this prison house of my heart, bound up very tightly with the rope of love forever and forever. If quarrels of pralayas come, still I won't release you. This is suitable punishment for such a great thief as you. So let us see. You can keep this now. This one you can keep, and the first one you have to give back again for tomorrow. And after tomorrow, you can keep the first one too. So our homework again for tomorrow is to look for Krishna's mercy in your life and to see if there's some mercy you're reluctant to receive. Are there any questions or comments on today's class? Yes.
She couldn't see, like,
Yashoda,
you know, in that intimate way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Krishna,
this is a... She couldn't chastise him. She was offering prayers. She was an odd reference of Krishna.
I just wondered, that's
been
my mind, because she was his aunt, so she would have been his senior.
Yeah.
Krishna was her nephew, so there wasn't any, like, sort of feeling.
No, she had Vatsalya, above, but it was not as strong as her own reference. Whereas with Yashoda, if you even try to tell her anything about Krishna, she just wouldn't believe it. She wouldn't believe he's God. And she would always, whenever anything would happen, she would chant mantras for his protection. She'll go to Narayan and offer puja to Narayan. Thank you for saving my Krishna. And she would go to the Brahmins to chant mantras for his safety. So she never thought it was Krishna himself who was doing everything. She thought he got special protection from Narayana. Or he was on the level, Garga Muni predicted he'll be on the level of Narayana. Not that he is Narayana, but he's... And Prabhupada said they would, you know, every day the cowherd boys would come home and they would say, today Krishna did this wonderful thing. Maybe he's a demigod. And Prabhupada said, and that's even maybe, not sure, that he's a demigod.
The Yogamaya.
Yeah, Yogamaya is there for them, in Braj. It's very strong. Whereas in Dwarka, Mathura, there's a mixture. Uddhava, there's a mixture of reverence and friendship with Uddhava. There's a mixture of reverence and vatsalya.
They know he's God.
They know. They know he's a super soul, actually, Bhagavatam says. They know that Krishna is Paramatma. The Yadu dynasty knew Krishna is Paramatma in everyone's heart. Kunti knew him as the Supreme Person, as Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adi Purush. Yeah, it's quite, I mean, Uddhava went to Vrindavan to try to convince Nanda. He had a message from Krishna after Krishna left. And he told Nanda, your son, You don't understand your son. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Nanda said, no, you don't understand my son. My son. I know about the personality. I know Narayan. Narayan, he's self-satisfied. My son, if he doesn't get food, he gets angry. If he doesn't, he goes crying to his mother. Is Narayan like that? I don't think so. So he would give all the reasons why Krishna is not God. And Uddhava's trying to tell him, no, you don't understand. And both of them, they couldn't meet. They just can't be. You can't stop their prema. Their prema is so strong. Their love for Krishna is so strong, it can't be disturbed by anything. Like, you can't stop their prema. It's so strong. Whereas the prema in the other, in Dwarka, is not as strong as Yashoda and Nanda, and the rich Basis. There's a list, actually, in that due devotion of parental rasa. Who is in parental rasa? Yashoda is the top, number one. Nanda is second. And third in the list is all the cowherd women of Vrindavan who gave milk to Krishna in the 1 year when Brahma stole the cowherd boys. And then it comes down. Vasudeva is way, way down there. And Devaki may be up there, number five or something. But it's quite... And then his guru is Sandipani Muni's in there, like at the end, I think. But yeah, the Brajbasis, they have pure love, and nobody can change it. You can't change. Nanda tried to convince... Uddhava tried to convince Nanda, He's all-pervading, he's this, he's that. And he said, you're just a young boy, Uddhava, you don't understand, my son. He steals. Narayan doesn't steal. Narayan is God. So it's quite something to try to even to understand the Brijbasis is very difficult. Their love for Krishna. Actually, yes, they have their fear. They have fear, but it's not for themselves. They fear for Krishna. They want to protect Krishna. So if they fear some fear, it's like when Kaliya had his coils around Krishna. Everyone was so afraid. Oh no, he's going to hurt our Krishna. Yeah, she fainted. Well, they tried to go in the water and Balaram stopped them. Because he knew. The mother and father, they tried to go in the water and save him. But Balaram stopped. Yeah, everybody fainted. Everybody was. The whole brudge. Coward boys, cows were crying. So it's, yes, such a different feeling. And Vrindavan and Braj. Any other questions? Yes.
A pure devotee sees Krishna all the time, not just when he's in danger. So why did Kunti need to pray for danger to actually be with Krishna? Krishna helped me, because there was some danger, but you could have prayed to see Krishna.
Well, the devotees, they prefer to see Krishna face to face. I mean, you can see him as all-pervading, you can see him as Paramatma, but the most relishable experience is to have him face to face with you. So she wasn't seeing him face to face. When he would go to Dwarka, then they would be in separation. They wouldn't be seeing him with, he wouldn't be with them face to face.
Oh,
and having a relationship. He was leaving.
He was leaving.
Yeah, he was ready to leave now.
Because
she
could have invited him to a party.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, that's her prayers. Her whole prayers are saying, don't go. That's her. The purpose of her prayer is saying, don't leave us now. Because now we have our kingdom and you're going away.
She thought that he'd only been there to protect them now that they were safe.
Yeah, well, he was. He was going. Yeah, yeah. So she's trying to convince, no, we still need you. We want you to stay with us. Yeah, he wasn't actually going physically. So, yeah. So she wouldn't be able to see him. I mean, you know, all-pervading, that's one thing, and Paramatma's another, but it's not as wonderful as seeing him face-to-face and being with him and, you know, having pastimes and feeding him and so many nice things you can do when he's with you face-to-face.
Did she not move to
Dwarka? No. No. She couldn't move to Dwarka, no, because... they were very, in those days, they very much followed the Vedas, the Varnashram and the Vedic. So she was married. Once the daughter is married, she doesn't go back to her father's house. She has to stay with the husband's house. She was married into the family at Hastinapur now. So she had to stay there. That was her place, with her sons. The mother stays with the sons in the Vedic culture. She doesn't go back and stay with her father. Father was in Dwarka. She could have gone there, but it's not the Vedic. Even though her husband died, you stay with the family of your husband. So that was the whole. They were very strict followers. They were following very much the Vedic standard. That was the Vedic standard. Now there's no standard, so we don't even know what these things are, you know. And in the West, we leave our homes at a young age anyway, and we don't even think to go back to our parents. You know, that would be like the worst possible thing we could do, you know. most kids think that way, I think, you know. Like, oh, how could I go stay with my parents? Oh, that would be terrible. That would be a tragedy. That would be... Yeah, I know. What to speak of your in-laws, yeah. So the Vedic culture is you go stay with your in-laws. I mean, it's like a big, huge family. As I said, I don't know if I said here, but in Calcutta, where I lived for 7 years, they had four families of 400 members in one family, joint family, rich people. And we just all live together, cook together, and eat together, whatever. Yeah. Okay, ooh, yes, take Giri Rush fast to eat. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll see you tomorrow for our last two classes. From 10 o'clock tomorrow until 1 o'clock. We'll have two classes together and finish. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.